Well, top of the morning to all of you Bible scholars and Bible lovers all over the place. Here it is. It's the Panic Podcast for Monday, the 6th of October in the year of our Lord, 2025. Good to have you with us on Monday. Monday is the Seven Deadly Sins Day. And today we're going to look at the green-eyed monster of envy. Envy. Might want to open up your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, because we'll look at a handful of verses there today on the Panic Podcast. My name is Mike. You know who you are, and we'll get started in just a second. Hang tough. Well, what a glorious, glorious weekend it was here in Wise County, Virginia. Felt like summertime. It was so nice. I loved every single moment of it. And I especially loved our Sunday service. We had a really, really good Sunday service and a good communion service and felt the presence of the Lord. And it was really nice. We have a really good crowd, really good crowd here at the church. And we were missing a bunch of people yesterday. Had one lady was out because she broke her wrist, had another family out traveling. So, it's, those things happen, but we still had a really good service, and I appreciate everybody coming out and, diving, headfirst into everything that the Holy Spirit had to offer yesterday in church. I hope you had good church services too. Now, as I said, we're going to deal with envy today. 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 1 to 3, kind of a good verse, a good group of verses to get us started. Rid yourselves, writes Peter, of all evil. No more lying or hypocrisy or jealousy or insulting language. Be like newborn babies, always thirsty for the pure spiritual milk, so that by drinking it you may grow up and be saved. As the scripture says, you have found out for yourselves how kind the Lord is. Well, we're talking about envy today. Probably one of the most insidious threats to our spiritual well-being. You know, in a culture completely saturated with social media, quote-unquote influencers, which to me really means unemployed people, showing off all of their stuff, you know, their possessions, their talents, their good looks, and so on. Career ladders. Also, the human urge to constantly compare ourselves to others. Every time envy whispers in our ears, our joy begins to erode, and our fellowship with others is in peril. But what exactly is envy? Well, at the very outset, let me say this. Envy and jealousy are identical twins. They really are the twins of evil. They walk hand in hand through all the days of our lives. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, jealousy and envy are two terms that are often used interchangeably. And like the first three deadly sins that we looked at, pride, anger, and lust, envy is far, far too common in the lives of Christians. Very, very few of us are able to avoid it, and fewer still escape its clutches once envy has got a hold of us. The sin of envy, it creeps into our relationships. It literally shatters our confidence in ourselves, in others, and even in God. And some people, you know, they may claim to have no problem with envy. Me? I don't have a jealous bone in my body, they may say. But in truth, that's usually more wishful thinking than reality. Now, envy is not mere admiration of others or what others have. Like, there's nothing in the world wrong with admiring the success that other people have achieved or that kind of thing. But when it crosses the line into a resentful longing for what other have, coupled with a desire to see them deprived of it, then that's when envy, rears its ugly head. The wise man in the book of Proverbs wrote this concerning envy. Listen to this. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. Proverbs 14:30. Envy is the rottenness of the bones. This ancient wisdom reminds us that envy behaves like a cancer of the soul, eating away at our contentment, leading us away from God's grace. So envy and its twin jealousy have plagued mankind ever since the earliest days of creation in the book of Genesis. When one brother was envious of another brother and killed him. And the Bible is chock full of warnings and examples that expose envy's destructive power. But at the same time, through the scriptures, we find the antidote to envy. I'm going to give you the antidote right up front. We'll talk about it at the conclusion of the teaching today, but the antidote for envy is simply a life that is rooted in Christ's love, is full of gratitude and humility. So let's explore the biblical roots of envy. It's terrible, terrible consequences and practical ways to combat it in our 21st century sophisticated lives. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will illuminate our hearts as we look at various passages of scripture today. Now, the Bible does not mince words when it comes to envy. Envy in the Bible is always portrayed as a black sin that stems from a disordered heart, one that fails to trust God's sovereign provision. Now, as I mentioned a couple of moments ago, envy first appears very early in the Bible, in the terribly sad story of Cain and Abel. The whole sordid story is found in the book of Genesis, verses 3-8. Cain, one of the brothers, is a farmer. And he brought an offering of various fruits to the Lord, while his brother Abel, who was a shepherd, offered God the firstborn of his flock. Now keep in mind that Cain and Abel, brothers, they're the children of Adam and Eve. Now we're told that God liked Abel's sacrifice, but he wasn't crazy about Cain's. And this made Cain angry. Picking up the story, Genesis 4, verses 6 and 7 from the Living Bible. "Why are you angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why is your face so dark with rage? It can be bright with joy if you will do what you should. But if you refuse to obey, watch out. Sin is waiting to attack you, longing to destroy you. But you can conquer it." The reason God rejected Cain's offering isn't mentioned in the text, but the wording of verses 3 and 4 helps us. So I'm going to read verses 3 and 4 with my emphasis put in there. Now listen, Genesis 4, verse 3. "So in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruit of the soil as an offering to the Lord." Verse 4, "While Abel brought the best portions of the firstborn of his flock." So Abel brought God the best that he had to offer, while Cain wasn't so particular, bringing just some of his produce to God. Here's the thing. Worship is only acceptable to God if it is perfect. And when I say perfect, I mean if it is what God wants. So true worship is what God wants from you. And true worship has to cost you something. Okay, God is never, ever, ever satisfied with second best. That's kind of a minor lesson. That's not the main point of the verses that I read, but it's a minor, secondary lesson, but it's an important one. God's not satisfied with second best. Like, when you worship God, you can't worship Him the way you feel like worshiping Him. You have to worship Him the way He wants you to worship Him. I mean, it's simple. It's not hard to do. But, of course, our human nature always wants to do things our way. But there's a correct way to approach God, and it's His way. Bible spells it out. Well, Cain's envy of Abel, of course, was disastrous, and it led Cain to go so far as to kill his brother. What's really interesting in the story is that Cain is portrayed as a more hardened sinner than his father Adam. Remember, Adam had to be persuaded to sin by Eve, but Cain couldn't be dissuaded from sinning even by God Himself. That's the power of envy at work, festered into hatred, culminating in the world's first murder. So envy blinds us to our own shortcomings, and it fixates on other people's successes. And if you're not careful, it's going to lead to irreversible harm. I think another really good example of envy is found in Genesis 37, and you all know the story where Joseph's brothers envied him because of their father's favoritism, and of course Joseph's prophetic dreams. Genesis 37, verse 4, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him. That is Joseph. They hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Yeah, their envy drove their brothers to go so far as to concoct a plan to kill Joseph. But in the end, they ended up selling Joseph into slavery, tearing the family apart. You know, yet in God's amazing providence, and I love this story, His redemptive plan prevailed as Joseph rose to the heights of power in Egypt and actually saved his whole family from a terrible worldwide famine. Genesis 50, verses 19 to 21, Joseph replied to his brothers, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? As for you, what you intended against me for evil, God intended for good, in order to accomplish a day like this, to preserve the lives of many people. Therefore, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." So Joseph reassured his brothers and spoke kindly to them. Of course, they didn't deserve Joseph's time of day, but God was working in Joseph's life. So, yeah, envy can destroy relationships, and it can stifle God's purposes until repentance intervenes, like Joseph's brothers. And, you know, envy can be, the destructive course of envy can be somewhat reversed. Well, still in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 18 shows us a King Saul's envy of young David. After David slew Goliath, he got all the praise and adulation. And Saul's response was classic envy. 1 Samuel 18:8, "And Saul was furious." David was getting all the praise. Saul got nothing. Made Saul furious. And Saul started looking for ways to kill David. Now, over in the New Testament, of course, envy is soundly condemned as a work of the flesh that actually opposes the Holy Spirit. James chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. James writes, "But if you harbor bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts. Do not boast in it or deny the truth. For such wisdom does not come from above. It is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every evil practice. And James was specifically talking about false teachers here who are characterized by bitter envy and jealous ambition. But what I wanted you to notice here is that James links envy to demonic influences. When you let envy get a hold of your heart, you are cracking open the door of your life to demonic influences. You're giving the devil a foothold. This emphasizes envy's capacity to breed chaos in the community, especially in the church. So Jesus himself actually addressed envy kind of indirectly through various parables and teachings on contentment. In the parable of the workers in the vineyard, it's in Matthew chapter 20. You probably remember the story. Workers who worked all day in the vineyard envied those hired later on in the day, but who received the same wage. In Matthew 20 verse 15, the owner of the vineyard said, "Do I not have the right to do as I please with what is mine? Or are you envious because I am generous?" Yeah, listen, envy can actually drive you to question God's fairness and God's grace, forgetting that his blessings are his to give, and they're not a zero sum. Like, just because the person that sits in front of you in church appears to you to get all of God's blessings, that doesn't mean that God doesn't have any for you. You know, maybe if you weren't such a jerk about it, God would actually bless you too. So, I mean, and listen, this is a serious issue, because even among the disciples of Jesus, envy bubbled up, if you can believe that. In Mark chapter 9, verses 38 to 40, we read about it. Listen, one of the disciples, John, told Jesus one day, "Teacher, we saw a man using your name to cast out demons, but we told him not to, for he isn't one of our group." I love that. That's the Living Bible. "Don't forbid him," Jesus said, "for no one doing miracles in my name will quickly turn against me. Anyone who isn't for us, and anyone who isn't against us is for us." And you know, John, I mean, he knew better. He knew better than this. Even in the ministry, among the nicest of people, you can find envy. You can find envy. So as you imagine, the consequences of envy are legion. Like, envy wreaks havoc on our spiritual, emotional, and our relational life. Like, spiritually, envy actually pushes us away from God by fostering within us just a terrible, arrogant spirit of ingratitude. Romans chapter 1 verse 21 notes that failing to glorify God leads to futile thinking and darkened hearts. Well, envy certainly epitomizes this, as we covet instead of thanking God for what he has given to us. Envy erodes faith, making us doubt God's goodness, much like the Israelites who envied other nations' kings and rejected God's rule. Now, emotionally, envy breeds misery. Proverbs 27 verse 4 warns us about this. "Jealousy is more dangerous and cruel than anger." Anger's pretty bad, but jealousy is more dangerous and cruel than anger. Envy or jealousy, it poisons our joy, turning celebrations into a source of bitterness. You know, in today's terms, scrolling through social media feeds filled with Things like vacations or promotions or perfect families can trigger this in all of us, leaving us dissatisfied with our own lives. And of course, relationally, envy fractures bonds between people. Like in Joseph's story, it sows discord among siblings and friends and colleagues at work. In churches, envy can manifest itself when one member's spiritual gifts or, you know, successes or blessings provoke resentment in others. I mean, just listen to what, and this is kind of funny to me. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 to 32. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, "Get rid of all bitterness, passion, and anger. No more shouting or insults." That must have been some church, eh? "No more shouting or insults. No more hateful feelings of any sort. Instead, be kind and tender-hearted to one another and forgive one another as God has forgiven you through Christ." Unchecked envy ignores those verses, leading to, at best, conflict in the church, or at worst, a split church. Nobody wants that. Meanwhile, on a societal level, well, envy just fuels injustice. The 10th commandment is, "You shall not covet." And this commandment guards against envy-driven theft or adultery. In a more modern context, envy underpins things like class warfare, even corporate sabotage, where envy of wealth or status justifies unethical actions. So what do you do about this? I mean, envy is pretty bad. I'll tell you how bad envy is. It's even ingrained in many of our laws as a nation. Well, there's not much we can do about that. But what can we do about envy on the personal level? Well, once again, the Bible offers a path to victory. And central to this is learning to cultivate contentment. As a matter of fact, you'll notice if you're paying attention, cultivating contentment will help you battle all of the 7 deadly sins. Paul, writing from his prison cell of all places, was able to say this: "Not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to get along happily, whether I have much or little. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of contentment in every situation, whether it be a full stomach or hunger, plenty or want. For I can do everything God asks me to, with the help of Christ, who gives me the strength and power." So that's Philippians 4, verses 11 to 13. So be content. Now, but bear this in mind. Contentment is not passive resignation. Rather, it is active trust in God's sufficiency through Christ, shifting focus from the blessing of others to God's provision. Now, love is envy's direct antagonist. Now, never forget what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, 1 Corinthians 13:4, "Love is very patient and kind. It's never jealous or envious. It's never boastful or proud." So true love, agape love, is happy when other people are blessed or when something good happens to them. Yeah. When we love people the way God loves people, we dismantle envy's self-centeredness. Romans 12:15, "When others are happy, be happy with them." When others are happy, be happy with them. Don't begrudge them. Something else guaranteed to smother envy in your life is humility. Man, that is so important to the Lord, humility. Philippians 2, 3, and 4, "Don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too. and in what they're doing. See, we need to emulate Christ's humility, who did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage, the Bible says. So when we get a grip on our humility, we can learn to celebrate others without being feeling threatened ourselves. And gratitude. Gratitude is a powerful weapon in our fight against envy. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, no matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. A thankful heart acknowledges God's gifts. And when you do that, you are starving envy's hunger for more. And finally, when all else fails, confession and renewal. They're really the keys to all this. James 5:16, admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and wonderful results. You might actually have to do that. If you can't get a handle on envy in your life, you might have to talk to your pastor about it, or an elder in your church, or somebody that you think highly of in your church. And I'm going to tell you this. We're not going to think bad of you. We're not going to laugh at you. We all have the same struggles you have. That's the wonder and beauty of the Church of Jesus Christ. We're all in it together. We're all trying to make it. But I'm telling you this right now, you can't make it alone. You need the help of your church. And if it gets to the point where you can't deal with anger, like on your own, seek out help from your church. That's what we're there for. That's what we're there for. Bringing envy into the light through prayer and accountability. It invites the Holy Spirit's transformation. This is promised in Ezekiel 36:26. God says, I will give you a new heart. I will give you new and right desires. I will put a new spirit within you. I will take out your stony hearts of sin and give you new hearts of love. So envy is a deadly sin because it kills joy in relationships and faith. But in Christ, we can have the victory. As we think about Cain's rage, Saul's paranoia, the disciples' pettiness, let's repent and embrace contentment and love and humility. All of us, myself included, from time to time, we have to examine our hearts to see if any envy has crept in. If it has, it's not the end of the world. Confess it. Let God renew you. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit can do to your heart. Okay, that's it for Monday on the Panic Podcast. Thanks for listening. A programming note. Once again, there'll be no podcast on Friday. I've got to be out of town. Actually, I've got to be out of town Thursday and Friday, and I'm not going to have time to do a third podcast. So I'm sorry about that, but no podcast on Friday. There will be one on Thursday, so be sure to tune in Thursday for the next Panic Podcast. In the meantime, it's going to be a gorgeous day today in Wise County. So get out, get some sunshine, enjoy a summer-like day today, because guess what? The rain moves in tomorrow, and for the remainder of the week, it's going to feel a lot like October. It's not going to rain every day. Looks like most of our rain is confined to Tuesday and Wednesday, but the remainder of the week is going to be in like the mid to upper 60s. Quite a difference from what we've been enjoying. But hey, it's October. It's autumn. The leaves are starting to change. What do you expect? Have a great rest of the day today. Talk to you soon. God bless.